Welcome, mambas and mambacitas from around the world. You are tuned in to the Thrill Radio Show. My name is John Ballesteros, and I'll be your host for this inaugural episode from The Thrill on Anchor. And it's a good one, y'all. So first of all, before we get to the episode, let me give you a little background on The Thrill for those who don't know. We are a purpose project, a collective of individuals, brothers, who came together in 2016 with a spirit of adventure bonding us together. And today, that spirit of adventure takes us many places, but it also brings us together for many different types of projects. And really, one of the main goals we have is to spread this energy of adventure, of thrill, throughout the world. So one of the ways that we do that is by meeting every week to discuss different things. Sometimes the meetings are more logistics focused, thinking about the projects that we want to work on and how we can execute them. And sometimes they're simply discussions of topics that, you know, are bringing us ideas, giving us emotions, and things that we want to share with each other. And that's what this podcast episode is. So recently, the late, great Kobe Bean Bryant passed away, and the members of The Thrill, the three of us, right now we have Mick Hedberg, Ricky Ho, and myself. We decided to have a conversation about his passing because it really had a deep impact on us. Growing up as in the millennial generation in the 90s and 2000s, Kobe Bryant was that transcending basketball star that we all grew up watching. He was our era's Michael Jordan. And so with his passing, brought up a lot of those emotions, a lot of thoughts. And we wanted to share that with each other and with you. So here in this podcast, you'll hear us talk about our favorite memories of Kobe, the different things that Kobe embodied for us. And then also, because, you know, everybody's talking about his legacy, we were talking about his legacy, we also wanted to talk about our own legacies and what we wanted to leave after we have passed. So thanks for listening. Check it out.
What else do we take from Kobe's legacy? What else will we remember about Kobe Bryant?
He had the ugliest shoes. His first shoe.
What?
Oh, my God.
The Adidas?
Yeah, the minivan ones. Oh, my God.
They're horrible, horrible.
They were terrible. I heard when he left Adidas and went to Nike, he never said the word Adidas ever again.
I completely believe that.
Yeah.
Yo, he had to buy his way out of that contract with his own money.
Damn.
Like, he decided he wanted to be at Nike, and so he literally used his, like, you know, money from playing and from other endorsements to buy his way out. And then I think it was like a $40 million deal with Nike.
Jesus.
Which is, by the way, something people don't talk about because it was an interesting thing at the time. He got a $40 million deal. LeBron came in the league and got a $90 million deal, like, within the same year or something like that. I said it before, but, like, the work ethic, like, that's what, at least within the basketball world, like, people who played and grew up playing, that's what he was, like, known for, and that's the impact that he would have on people. There's these articles out there about his, you know, people following him through his workouts, you know, where he'd get to the practice facility at 4 a.m. for, like, a 9 a.m. practice. And then apparently, after practice, a lot of times he would grab a guy, whichever guy he felt like picking on or whatever, on the team, and they'd play one-on-one, 200, full court.
What?
Wow.
Like, think of how exhausting, right? And so he was just maniacal. Like, his work habits were unprecedented. And I think that for me is the legacy. And you can take that. The cool thing is you can take that legacy to whatever it is you're into.
Exactly.
But like reading some of those articles, like I'm almost tempted to print some of them out and like hang them above my desk or something, you know, because it's that type of inspiration.
I was listening to this podcast that he did, and he was talking about how he was always thinking about the psychology of his teammates. So the mental game was big to him. Another story he told was how his teammates, they would be in Chicago or Miami and they'd want to go out, you know? And so instead of Kobe just being like, nah, man, don't go out, work hard. He's like, okay, let me go out with you. I'll go out with you. And he'd go out, they'd get drinks. But in the morning at 5 a.m., he's knocking on the door. Come on, let's go practice. You know, I hung out with you. Now you hang out with me. This is what we do. So definitely like the physicality and the mentality both recovered.
Yeah, that Mamba mentality. I feel like the last thing that I would take from his legacy was probably like how cool being a dad would be, you know, coaching your daughter, how much he enjoyed like passing on his knowledge to his own kids. That seems really cool. It seems really cool to be a dad.
Right.
It does like, I totally think it's a part of his legacy. Kobe's the first guy that I can remember seeing him as a dad, like seeing an NBA player, like clearly being like head over heels for his kids, wanting to be around them. That's the reason why he started taking a helicopter in the first place, was so that he could be back home in time to pick his kids up from school.
I think one of my favorite pictures was one of his older Instagram posts of, it's like him and the team, including his daughter, they won like a fourth place trophy. And then in the caption, he's like, here's our fourth place winners in parentheses. And he's just reiterating just that's just Kobe being Kobe, even into fatherhood.
This is the guy that's known for calling out guys after practice, telling the GM that they're soft as Charmin, and they can't guard. You know what I mean? Like, that's what he was known for.
Right. Right. And that kind of leads to my point, too, because, yeah, I mean, as a player, not everybody liked him. You know, he was known for not passing the ball, you know, and like being selfish. Hog. Yeah. But at the end of the day, when he passed away, it felt like everybody was grieving. Everybody. And kind of what that shows me is like, it doesn't matter what people are saying about you. As you said, Mick, like he had a purpose behind being a dick.
Yeah. It's like in the long run, if you really go all out after what you're passionate about, in the long run, like you'll end up on the right side of history. Like people will see it. People didn't always see it in the moment, but in the long run, he ends up on the right side of history and with this legacy because he was putting the work in when it wasn't cool.
Okay. So now as we continue to reflect on Kobe and what he brought and how we see people, you know, respecting him and his legacy, what do you guys think of your legacy when one day we leave this earth, this body? What do you want people to say about you when you pass away?
Rico, you take that one.
It's funny. I was thinking about it today, and I was just thinking about, you know, I was writing it in my own caption book too, and it was something along the lines of like, you know, I love being me and I don't want to be anybody else but me. I know there's a greater version of me out there and I want to find that. And I'm going to reach that greater version of me if I keep working at it. I've got a lot of work to do, but I don't want to be anybody but me. And along the same lines of Kobe, you know, he was very himself through and through. And I think I just want people to remember, like, I did it my way.
Yeah,
I think that's seeing everybody share stories and just, you know, ways that, you know, they, you know, Kobe made an impact on other people's lives. I wanted to be in the same way, obviously on a much smaller scale, but when you impact one person, I feel like that's more than enough.
Yeah, I think, you know, mine is kind of similar. Like I would say I would want to be remembered for just going all out, you know, for like leaving nothing on the floor, basically, you know, is the way we'd say it in basketball. that's always the way I wanted to play. Growing up, I always wanted to be the guy who like outworked everybody. Literally left it all on the court, came off the floor feeling, you know, like I had nothing left. And I want to do the same thing, like the way I live. I don't want to leave anything out, hold anything back. You know, we had this, it's like in the same vein, there's this book that we had, our parents got us when we were growing up. And it was like written by or with Kirby Puckett, who was the Twins player when we were really young. And it was just called Be the Best You Can Be. Obviously like a children's book kind of meant to be inspirational or whatever, but I still remember the phrase because I think it's such a good way to like think of a vision, to think about your life is just being focused, like you were saying, Rico, on just like maximizing, your potential and making the most, of what you have.
Yeah. I think that's definitely the key. And Kobe set that example. It's interesting. We kind of all gravitated toward that idea of being the best version of yourself. And even like when I was thinking about, okay, be more specific, what is that version of myself? I found it kind of hard to even say like, oh, I want people to remember me for being a great cook, or, you know what I mean? Whatever it could be. Because I think the more like, I guess kind of general things are of like, you know, being, leaving the place in a better world than, or leaving the world in a better place than I found it. Like these kind of general things are more important. It doesn't really matter what it is. Like Kobe affected the game of basketball, which currently is, you know, at a level where it's always being covered in the media, and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like if Kobe was interested in writing children's books, as he kind of was doing in the later stages of his life, and he wasn't as, you know, as well known as he obviously was, I mean, he still would have brought that same mentality to it. So it's not necessarily as much about what it is that you do, but just being your best that you can be at it. And, you know, thinking of others in mind, I think that's really important. And another one I wrote is like spreading love. I think that's a big one that I loved and I was loved, especially with my family and friends. I think that's another big part of legacy that I've been thinking about.
Nice.
The one other thing I want to say, just because I think it's worth saying it, is, you know, obviously hearing the news about Kobe this past weekend was like complete shock, right?
Uh-huh.
But, you know, as I called like my brother and my dad and friends, and we, you know, as we heard about the whole scope of it, the part that like was the most heartbreaking, and it was probably that way for everyone, was hearing about the fact that his daughter and her teammates were on the helicopter.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was messaging with a friend the other night, and we were just talking about the whole thing. And one of the things that occurred to me is why it's so heartbreaking is it's like the thing with Kobe is horrible and early and unfortunate as it is to lose a guy like that. His legacy is secured. Like it's not in doubt. His name will always be there. But those girls who were on that flight, they didn't get the chance to create their own, you know? And I think that's what's so heartbreaking about it. And you know, over the last couple of days, the silver lining that I find in it is like, it's the way it always is when something like this happens, but it's like, so what can we take from that as their legacy? And that is that we actually do have the chance to create ours, you know? And so let's not waste it.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Let's not waste it. I think let's end on that. Also condolences to all the families involved. And let's not waste this chance to create our legacy. Anything else, guys?
That's it.
It's a wrap.
All right, dope. This is the John B. journey. I'm just kidding.
You've been listening to the Thrill Cast.